sounds like this. Sunday's 5 to 7 p.m. Sheffield Live
Yeah, big thanks to DJ Ski for the past couple of hours of Platinum Plates. How we do it each and every Sunday. Here on Sheffield Live. Kick things off with a track from the incredible brand new album from Jill Scott, To Whom It May Concern. She's come with it. Big shout out to everyone who made it down to Hagler's Corner last night. We had fun. And the little well, as a few people were suggesting, felt like a blues at the end. Hit the slow numbers for the last 15 minutes or so. And had to drop Jill Scott slowly, surely, which was the first time I'd heard her. Apart from, I think, a live recording with the Roots of You Got Me. I think she was the original singer on that. Before Erykah Badu was on the recorded version. So yeah, you just heard Pressure. And I've got a special guest today, and it's so long overdue. Mim Solomon. Incredible artist based here in Sheffield, originally from Zanzibar. She'll be along shortly. We're playing tracks from her new album, Pan Pan. Hope you're alright. This one is an album of, I think, tribute to Dilla tracks. Called Bloto, and this is called Your Lane Ready. Let's go with another one from the Jill Scott album. This one's called The Math. Send this one out to Ollie.
Give up on
Yeah, sounds like this on a Sunday. And Mim Solomon's here. Your mic's not working at the moment, so we'll come over in a minute. Big shout out to Ruth tuning in. Shout out to Darren as well. I did get the... because you passed that Nena Cherry book, didn't you, to Levi, and I think it just stayed in his car. So I'm going to have to catch up with him on that because I need to get that book and have a read of it. So, yeah, so we're going to have a bit of a chat. So I'm going to play a little bit of a track called Codalia. Is it Codalia? Codalia. I'm going to be quite rightly corrected every single time by Mim, and I'm going to enjoy it too. She's going to enjoy it. So, and we'll have a quick chat. So we'll play the first track and then, yeah, stay tuned. Right, Mim, we're live.
Hey.
Just give us a mic check.
Mic check.
Oh, no, that's not the right one. Try that out.
Mic check.
No, it's still not.
Mic.
Who is this mic? Let's try it again.
Check.
There we go. I think we got you.
Yeah. We checked it.
Thank you for coming in.
Most welcome.
Something doesn't quite sound right. Hold on, let me just... do something. Okay, should we try again? Yes, thank you for coming in, and it's long overdue.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
No, it's long overdue. Like I said, my apologies. I was just like, it was like your new album was released. I was thinking, oh my God, I've never had Mim on the show. How's things?
Oh, very well, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, could you tell us about your new album?
Oh yeah, my new album released on the 14th of February, called Pan Pan. This is what I call the sound of pans and dishes, you know, when they like clink and clunk and, you know, and they fall and they smack each other.
There was me going, I was going to ask you, is there some deep and meaningful meaning to it? It's what happens when the pots fall.
The sound of the pans.
Yeah.
Dishes and pans.
And I couldn't believe it was your eighth album.
Yes, correct.
And all of them produced by Morris.
Yeah.
So how do you do the how's the process of working together? Do you come up with the lyrics first, or is it or are you in the studio together, or is the beat first, or how's it work?
It really does vary song to song. You know, sometimes I have lyrics. I always have lyrics as a songwriter. You always have lyrics around. I always have songs around, but some songs win others.
Yeah.
You know, like, no, we're going today. We're in the queue. We're going fast. Get back in the queue. And as for me and Maurice working, we just choose that something that we create that day that works, and then we fit in all the lyrics around it, or write the new ones, or sometimes, yeah, write them and make them.
Yeah.
From clapped to shakers to everything from scratch, you know.
But are they works in progress, or do you kind of go, right, making a new album?
No,
oh, just, I've got enough.
We don't have spare.
No.
We don't have spare. Got a song, we do a song, we're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I was saying to you before we talked on air about how
I was gonna like do an Instagram post for the show, which I did obviously, and I was gonna think, how do I describe Mim's music? Because I honestly, I'm really wary of the whole fact that, you know, virtually every music of African origin gets just described the same. Which must be really frustrating. But maybe you can describe your music. How would you describe it?
Okay, well, how would I describe it? I would say eclectic, you know, percussive driven, a vocal driven, energetic, and it's combining the sort of like traditional to the modern. That's not modern really, but the Afro maybe, and then I don't know, we've got Baltimore and Pemba Island talking here, so yeah. It's combining those two things together with our experiences. I'm a 70s child, so
yeah,
you're always prepared for good vibes.
Yeah,
child. We were lucky, weren't we, really?
Yeah,
we had some good stuff during the 70s, 80s, 90s. Still getting good stuff.
You're still getting
so, you know, dance, it's all traditional, but it's all, yeah, dance, house, groovy, energetic, eclectic, futuristic.
Yeah. There we go, there you go. So yeah. defined in her own defined words, it. How it should be.
Yeah,
exactly. I was saying to you that obviously I did my research before the show. Obviously I've known you for a long time, but I did the research. I went on your Wikipedia page, you know what I mean? Deep research. I never knew about you working at Birmingham University many years ago.
Yeah, before music.
I used to
be a teaching lab technician.
Yeah.
For metallurgy and materials department at the University of Birmingham.
Okay.
So I used to teach undergrads and help some postgrads.
Yeah. And have you kept up with that at all, or you?
No, I just stopped it. And
you just stopped it.
People thought, oh, what a bonkers woman, and I totally get that.
I think anybody who you know makes their life in music faces that judgment. Yeah. <don't they? laughs> Why would you do this?
But I didn't know what they were talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do now.
Right, yeah.
Would I do the same? Because I just stopped.
Really?
I'm done with this, you know, with very little experience on the music or performance side of things.
Yeah.
I just thought, well, let's go.
Really?
Let's go, yeah. Just went for it.
Yeah, but how did, what was the start? What was the spark?
The spark, I went to Walmart Festival.
Okay.
And that was my first festival ever.
Really?
Yeah. And I was working. I was actually working at University of Birmingham.
Yeah.
I've been to like little...
Well, you're supposed to be at work and you're at a festival.
I run away.
That's got nothing to do with metallurgy.
Yeah. They do have summer holidays, but...
Yeah. Oh, right, yeah.
But yeah, I went to a Walmart Festival. I really enjoyed it. And I really enjoyed seeing... performance, but what was for me, I was so taken back by it in a very emotional way. I kept crying. I was just so happy. I kept crying, and I saw so many languages and so many international artists.
Yeah,
I never thought. I thought, what is going on here? You know. And then I took it on as like a little hobby while I was teaching in the evening, little singing lesson to keep my spirit going.
Yeah.
And that was it, really.
Yeah.
One led to another, and I just, before I knew it, I was like, yeah, I'm going to sing now. I'm quitting this.
Yeah.
But I kind of knew I only had limited time.
Yeah.
And I was reaching my 30s, so I was like, if you're going to do it
yeah.
now.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, because you're not going to do it in 5 years' time. So.
Yeah.
So I just jumped in.
And I'm going to use that really cringy word, but how's your... journey being in music, how have you found it? Like, I mean, obviously I think, well, it's a difficult time. It's a difficult time for musicians
right now,
really difficult. Yeah. And you know, even the advent of AI is making things 10 times worse for people.
Yeah.
But how have you found it? Because obviously navigating them highs and lows and persevering with something that you enjoy, but also it's
my bread and butter.
It's your bread and butter. Yeah.
How did I find it? I mean, it's. I knew what I wanted to do, so I did, and I knew that I didn't have much time to waste.
Mm.
I didn't have much time to waste biologically because I wanted children.
So music, career, children.
Music, children, everything all at yeah, once. Yeah. Well, pressure on the girl.
Yeah, exactly.
But so I learned. I just, because I didn't really know anything apart from I knew what I can do, which I can write and I can mathematically form it into a block of music.
Yeah.
And I knew something that I had. And I knew that I didn't have enough time to start doing other people's stuff.
Mm.
But I also knew that there was a lot of promotion to be made.
Mm.
So I spent the first 10 years probably just promoting. Like, do you remember when you used to run Phonetics?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was supposed to come to do a show with you guys.
Yeah. Before
you, and I had, sadly, I lost my baby that time.
Yeah.
And I couldn't, that was 24 years ago.
Mm.
Yeah. So it wasn't that long before I actually quit my job. I just started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So my first actual solo album started, me and Maurice started working in 2009. Yeah. Yeah, 8, 9, because we released it in 9.
Yeah.
9, 10, yeah. So it took a while and worked with different people. But then for me, it was all nice. To be a vocalist as a vocalist, I went up quite quick.
Yeah.
As a songwriter, I was coming, but because I wasn't playing an instrument apart from drums, I can hit the drum. Tell that.
Well,
didn't
pops,
I just drum?
That
was in my pants. Bang 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 bang. Throw a cut in there, and we'll do all the job for you.
You need. It's got rhythm and vocals. There we go.
Yeah. So that took me to learning instruments and couldn't rely upon other instrumentalists, musicians to do it for me because they didn't know what I had my own rhythms.
Yeah.
And only I can hear them, and now I needed to deliver them.
Yeah.
So I started learning instruments.
Okay.
I met Miss Ukulele, me and her.
Yeah.
We're the bestest friends ever
since.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Ah. So, So what was behind the decision? I mean, you wouldn't come under pressure, would you? Because you were working for yourself. But, like, did you make was it a conscious decision to sing mainly in Swahili?
Ah, okay. Yeah. Well, to begin with, it wasn't such that. But English is my second language, and although in the last 24 years it has improved vastly, it wasn't then. And I found when I was writing, although I wrote one song in English, and it took me like a whole month just to make sense and understand it. I'm stressing it. But when it came to writing in Swahili, my access doors were all open.
Yeah.
And I could really feel my emotion.
Mm.
And I couldn't lie to myself. The thought of thinking before singing, in terms of the word, I've got to feel it before I sing it.
Mm.
That would be me writing in English.
Yeah.
Well, Giswahili, I say it, I sing it as I feel it.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Yeah.
Okay. Good stuff. And the tune we played, you were telling me, it was called, I'm going to get it wrong again, Kodolea.
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 Yeah.
And you were saying...
Kodolea, do you know, like when you're staring at somebody?
Yeah.
But you forget
yourself. I try not to do that. I'm sort of like...
You're staring at me like that. Now I'm Kodolea. You're Kodolearing me, man.
so it becomes like...
You're Kodolea, you know,
tenses in it. Like, yeah, as in, you're codolaying.
Yeah, you're codolaring. Stop codolaring, man.
Do you know what? In my other job at school tomorrow, I'm going to try that with the kids. See what they say. Codolaying her.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you do that.
Mm.
Okay, should we play another one off the album?
I go.
Which one? You choose.
I want to do the new one or?
The new one, yeah.
Okay, go for Coma.
All right, should put my glasses on.
K-O-M-A.
No, I know. I can see it. It's just, I can't see
you
it.
You say you can't see it. There's me helping you.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, let's go for that. So, yeah, another track off of Mim's brand new album.
Thank you.
Gomer. Gomer. Right, behave. Don't you fucking dare.
You can't say that live on air. Oh, you can. You're the special guest.
Oh, are we on?
Yeah, we're on, yeah.
I do apologise. That was Chinese.
Listen, we won't worry about it. I don't think anyone heard. I don't think they did. Shout out to Maria tuning in. Let's change the subject.
Hi, Maria. Your money, poor.
And so go on. Obviously, you gave us the more sort of
comma.
Comma. Without swearing, tell us again what it means.
Oh yeah. I'm sorry about that, guys.
No, it's all right. It's okay.
I'm very nice like that.
It's all right. Our audience are aware that there is sometimes mature content.
Comma is behave, like, don't you dare.
Yeah.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
I'm seeing a bit of a theme here. There's like, don't you dare. Are all of your song titles threats?
Don't you dare. No. Yeah. Are you angry about something? Comma is like somebody does something and like, please don't.
Yeah.
And they keep repeating doing it. It's like, please don't. Now, we don't have please don't in Swahili. We go comma.
Oh, really? Just that?
Comma.
That's better, isn't it?
Because then by the time the third comma comes, you probably go somewhere out on there.
Yeah, let's hope you only have to get to two.
That playing circus with my life, pal.
How often do you go to Zanzibar?
Oh, I would go every year if I can. But I was lucky to be there in November, December last year.
Yeah.
Every 2 years or.
Yeah.
So I make it back, yeah.
Okay. And was it about 10 years ago, wasn't it, you did the documentary? Is it you, sister?
Oh my God, has it been there?
I don't know, like, I was it watching it again. I did my years. Research, you know what I mean? I did my research.
Ooh, sister,
yeah.
Yeah, so like the Swahili vowels are A-E-I-O-U, like French.
Okay, ooh, sister.
Yeah, so anything with you is ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about that film.
So, ooh, sister, basically... It was a documentary movie where we went to East Africa. So we went to Uganda, Tanzania, Kenya. Mainly started in Zanzibar, as I'm a Zanzibari origin artist. And we were just looking for women and how they played a part in art. And there weren't that many that were pursuing this, and how hard it was for female artists to pursue this kind of any artist, anything which... mainly men.
Mm.
Men were most of.
Yeah.
Just to collect history or document history of like what made it something that I really wanted to do was there was this singer-songwriter. I'm not sure if she was a singer-songwriter, but she was definitely a singer and she was definitely a musician.
Yeah.
Powerhouse, Bikki Dude. And she was like over 100 and odd years old. Still.
She was what?
Over 100.
Oh, really?
And she was still singing and performing around the world. She was from Zanzibar. And I really wanted to meet her and I really wanted to learn from her.
Yeah.
I remember seeing her, like, she's a drummer, percussive drummer.
Yeah.
Like, she'll drum for days and nights all over Tanzania. She was well known. So I wanted to know and learn from her. And that's what the process started from.
Yeah.
But when I got there, she started to get dementia. I only had, like, maybe... couple of meetings with her and she died. So she passed away in 2013.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was what made it for me to kind of
that
like,
was the spark. Yeah.
Yeah. So we just kind of travel.
Because the things that woman must have seen in her life and being a musician and she'd done that for decades.
Yeah. And I don't think they've even like, I really, really, although there's been a documentary and there's a guy, Andy Jones, who did documentary films about Bikki Dude. And he's the one we got together.
Yeah.
I was really, really like, you know, so impressed that somebody was there, heard me, what I wanted to do, and they were doing it. But I also felt like they weren't Zanzibaris. They didn't know how to dig deep. They weren't Zanzibari and they weren't women.
Mm.
I wanted to dig deep with these questions, but yeah. I just got there a little late because I just couldn't get all the answers that I want,
yeah.
You know, because she was just, getting older and forgetful, and she'll go on the stage and sing this song to these lyrics and listen to this song and stop whenever I feel like it. She was a great DJ.
Was she?
Yeah, she just mixed them whenever she feels like, and they went.
I always think there's something, I don't know, there's always something really special about seeing an artist when they get really old. Like, maybe the performance levels aren't quite what they were. And I think it always depends on the reasons why they're doing it. You know, if they're having to do it to survive, that might be one thing. But sometimes I've seen so many artists who are coming towards the end of their lives and it's just, there's something, it's like, I have to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because touring's hard, especially
touring. Yeah, I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm going to quit soon.
No, don't. We've not got you on here to announce your resignation live on air.
I'm exhausted.
What about touring, actually? I mean, obviously, you know.
I am, yeah, as you know, we're getting older, so I really don't fancy 4 o'clock a.m. gigs. Yeah. By any means. You can't pay me enough for that hallucination. I'm telling you now, change that hour now.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
It's got to happen before midnight.
It's going to happen before midnight.
It's funny, actually. I was talking to the guy who owns and runs True Thoughts Records. He's a lovely bloke, Rob Lurie. And he was telling me, yeah, he said, generally speaking, I'm always unavailable if people want me to play past midnight. And I'm just like... So there you go. That's why the day raves are becoming a thing.
Yeah. You've pushed it as if that midnight goes to 1 minute past on the stage.
But is that often the case then? Because of the type of music, because it is dance floor, it's got a lot of electronic elements. Do you often get, we want you to play, but it's 2:30 in the morning?
Yeah, often. And it's different countries, so you fly, you know. It's very exhausting. You fly there and it's not... People think you just get on the aeroplane every day. Yeah. It's like sassy. Absolutely not, guys. You know, it's hard work. And you get there, then there's sound check in between the checking in the hotel, in between, like, getting ready, in between the performance. Then you got to wait. Everybody to turn up. Oh, you'll be on about 1:30.
Yeah.
And then that 1:30 becomes, we're just going to wait till about an hour.
Yeah.
Before you know it, like, I've just finished a gig and it's 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough. That's
Yeah. But it really just depends. But yeah, majority of them, they really love it.
You're going to have to do an acoustic a cappella album and then everyone will be booking you for 3:00.
I am going to do that. Actually.
Yeah.
I mean, there's enough songs now.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, it's a lot. It's a lot because, you know, your albums aren't... You know, sometimes now people are releasing albums and they're like 6 tracks long, and I'm like, it's my album.
FAP.
Yeah, but yours go past. Right, should we play another one from the new album?
Okay. Yes, we can play another one.
Which one?
Which one would you like?
I like...
The Shibiri.
Yeah, I like that Shibiri.
Shibiri. Shibiri is like...
It's not going to be like...
No, Shibiri is the measurement. The SI unit measurement of length. Well, not SI unit, but a form of measuring length.
Yeah.
Using the palm of your hand from the tip of your thumb to the tip of your little finger. So that's the span of your hand. Yeah. That's called Shibiri.
Okay.
So I talk about how you can measure your medicine with your Shibiri, your skirt, your blouse, you know. So, you know, you'll always have a measurement... Once you've got your Shibiri.
You can use it for all purposes.
Yes, all-purpose measurement unit.
Yeah. Yeah, that one seems a bit nicer than the other. Let's play it. Thank you. sounds like this and stuff. Hold on, let's get the other one down. Yeah, I love that track.
That's bam, a good
bam, 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 bam. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, the title track that you can hear just in the background. Got Mim Solomon in the studio. This is Sheffield Live. Sounds like this on a Sunday. You've got to keep saying that stuff because in case people have just, like, you know, don't think anyone is here by accident. Hopefully. Maybe we are. I don't know. It's like I'm getting quite existential live on air, but there we go. Yeah, we were just talking about your artwork. Mm-hmm. You've done your artwork, your last two albums.
My child.
That's fantastic.
My youngest, yeah.
And do you give them...
Do I pay them? Yes.
No.
Yep, they take money off me.
Mates rates, so surely.
Very mates rates.
Very mates rates. Yeah. And we were just talking about, I was just kind of asking you about, you know, the profile of East African music and music in Swahili and sort of, you know, saying that probably... You know, people like myself have always been guilty of sort of lumping everything together as being Afro-sounding or Afro-beat.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah, I know, it's easy, isn't it, to pigeonhole it.
Yeah. But tell us a little bit about that, because you were just saying about, you know, the lack of singers singing in Swahili and...
Well, I would really love to find a backing singer that can sing my stuff. That will make me really, really happy. I haven't found them.
Really?
I do all my backings, but live, I would really like to find a Swahili singer.
Okay, so if you're listening
like
out there,
them, I would really come and meet me. Yeah, please. Yeah.